The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Happy birthday, Miss Bethany.
Oh, thank you.
You're like rubbing your eyes like you wish that I didn't remind you.
No, not at all. I forgot it's coming. I've been so, you know, just everything, trying to make sure everything's taken care of. I always forget my birthday's coming. There's one year I forgot until the day of.
No, that's awful. I never forget that your birthday is coming. And it is my birthday wish for my birthday that I can see you again in person. I know I miss you so much. I miss you too. Beautiful face. I'm going to put this before our next episode, the week of your birthday. But we've been recording episodes a little bit out of order. And I just wanted to make sure that we got some big old Bethany birthday wishes in. Before it was too late.
That's so thoughtful of you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're going to get some birthday sex?
All right.
You're going to be in a cabin.
A cabin in the woods.
A cabin in the woods on the actual day of your birthday. You're going to be isolated. You're going to get some birthday sex.
I mean, this is none of your business. My family listens to this podcast, you know?
Are you crying about your birthday?
I'm just crying because I'm like, it was really sweet of you to stop down and remember. So thank you.
I love you very much, Miss BB.
I love you too, Kathleen.
Happy birthday, sexy girl.
Okay.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your overnight oats eating, iced coffee drinking, gift shopping failure friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney, your cabbage lover.
Ugh.
Dolly Parton lover, holiday jazz lover friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are we talking about this week?
This week, I am talking about travel.
In that we can't do it?
In that I have big plans for when we can.
Oh, great.
When the vaccine comes out. And then I just wanted, Bethany, I was reading Travel and Leisure magazine, which is one of my favorite publications.
Yes.
Only says a woman in her 30s. I would never say that in my 20s. Like in my early 20s, I'd be like, I don't know, I read Perez Hilton.
Yeah.
And Travel and Leisure is the gift that keeps on giving, because I'm a professional daydreamer, as I am a Pisces. And let's just talk about places in lands far away, Bethany. What are you talking about this week?
I'm talking about illusions. Now, I've talked about this before on the podcast, I don't know how long ago, but recently my mother introduced me to this television show from the early 2000s. If you have BritBox as like a platform where you watch your shows.
Hold the phone.
Yeah.
Hold the phone.
Yeah.
BritBox is a real thing.
It is. It's where you get your Sherlock Holmeses and your Rosemary and Thymes and your Agatha Raisins and your Midsummer Murders. It's all of these cozy British mysteries on one streaming platform. It's wonderful.
What about the movie The Holiday? That's a cozy British.
It's a little too lover's story. Mainstream America for BritBox.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I have BritBox. My mother asked me if I had seen the show Jonathan Creek, and I had not. And
not to be confused with Dawson's Creek.
Right.
So.
Two different creeks. And basically, Jonathan Creek is this show about a man whose day job is inventing stage illusions for this magician who's sort of based on David Copperfield, but he solves murders by night. And it's my new obsession.
I sat next to David Copperfield. He's still alive, right?
He is.
Yeah, I sat next to him once at a movie after party.
Was he?
He had a girl on each arm.
I bet he did. I had the biggest crush on him all through college. I was the only girl in college at St. Cloud State University who had a David Copperfield poster on her wall. I was so into him, way past his prime. So we were talking about stage illusions.
A couple of important things on the list.
What's up?
Number one, you just went to the bodega and the woman in front of you was very high.
So high. I needed iced coffee because I'm dragging today. And the woman in front, you know, when you're in a rush, everyone in front of you is not in a rush.
Yes.
It's maddening. So the woman in front of me was so, so high. And I could tell for two reasons. A, I could smell it. B, her eyes were not open.
Yeah.
But she couldn't stand up straight. So she was like leaning on the counter and she was just asking the guy at the counter like how much everything cost because she just had like a few dollars. And then finally when it was time to pay, she put she had her wallet on the counter. She laid her head on the counter and opened up her wallet. So she came down to its level until she pulled out the bills and then lifted her head and handed it.
I don't know whether I'm jealous or feel sorry for this woman. I think maybe a little bit of both.
I mean, she seemed like she was in a real good place emotionally, so I think I'm jealous. Yeah, so Kathleen, we are officially like 9 days away from the holidays. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Yeah?
It fell over.
What?
Behind me is my pink Christmas tree. Do you see? I finally got my pink Christmas
tree. It's beautiful. It's smaller than I thought.
It's pretty small.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to get divorced over a pink Christmas tree.
Understood.
That would be the saddest divorce story ever.
Yeah.
But it's knocked over because my dang cat keeps eating it. He keeps eating the fake snow off of it. I'm pretty sure it's poison. So I don't want him to die. So you know how people crate dogs? Do people crate cats? Because I think I have to start crating my cat.
I think it's a little crueler to do it to cats because cats really need to like luxuriate and walk around. I don't know. Do your cats love being in their carrier?
So I'll tell you what. I did it. I made a fake kitten jail so we could just get through this podcast without my cat eating my pink Christmas tree. And you know those laundry bags that are mesh, but they're also wire?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So you can collapse them or use them. So I made a fake kitten jail out of that. So in the living room, my cat's just hanging out in this thing. And I think he likes it. But
your cats are so different than mine. So yours are up right now?
Yeah, they're up and they're chewing on shit. And anyway.
Mine are both passed out.
Have you seen the Dolly Parton Christmas special on Netflix?
No.
You should.
Okay, tell me about it.
You should. Okay, Bethany, it's like a small, quaint town where everyone is a professional Hollywood dancer. There are a lot of pas de bourrées and smiles and jazz arms. And in it, the town is being sold by this woman who grew up there and then she wants to like get away and she doesn't
A scripted film?
This is like a scripted holiday special where Dolly Parton plays the town homeless woman.
Did she smudge a little dirt on her face?
Bethany, she's smudged in dirt. Her bangs are a little stringy but also very voluminous.
Yeah.
She's like super glamorous. If a homeless woman went to Eileen Fisher and then they smudged her up a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
Like Eileen Fisher, gentle listener, is a high-end brand of comfort clothing for like older women, maybe?
Yeah. Like Chico's schlubby younger sister that is still as expensive but likes comfort more than being stylish in the desert.
Like $400 for cashmere, like schlubby cashmere that looks really comfortable. But whatever. And so Dolly Parton is like has a box that says change. Like, you know, so people will give her their spare change.
Sure.
And she's watching the whole story unfold from the center. Like, there's a gazebo in the center of town. I'm telling you, it's deliciously awful. And everybody needs to squeeze this into their watch list before Christmas.
I definitely am watching this because I just last night watched The Happiest Season, finally.
I haven't seen it yet. Was it good?
Oh, okay. It was co-written by Mary Holland, who's brilliant. And the thing that I love about Mary Holland is that she didn't give herself the biggest role, but she gave herself the best line of the film, which comes at like pretty close to the very end. And it is so charming. Dan Levy plays Dan Levy because he plays Dan Levy, and that's all I ever want from him.
True.
Kristen Stewart is perfectly sexy in everything she does, and she mm-hmm. makes you feel like maybe she'd fall in love with you. Like,
yes.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
I do love her.
Yeah,
I'm a stan.
Yeah, she's great. It's lovely. It's wonderful. It's funny. Mary Steenburgen is in it, and, you know, the world's mom. I highly, highly, highly recommend.
Yeah. Oh, God, I love this time of year. Are you done with your shopping?
No, I'm fucked.
Really?
What, yeah.
I mean, explain I fucked in how.
So I did the thing that I think a lot of people do where I started my holiday shopping before Thanksgiving and then got cocky because mm-hmm. I was like, well, I've already done like a good portion of it so I can relax. And now I have still half of the list to do.
Oh.
And I, as we record this, leave on Friday morning to go quarantine before the holidays where there will be no shopping, and you know, because I'm quarantining, so like I have to do it now.
You can send Amazon packages to your mom's house and then wrap them when you get there.
The problem is that yes, and I may have to do that. The problem is that I still have to get things for my mom and stepdad, and the things I wanted to get them come in a box that labels exactly what it is.
Oh, balls. Well,
so I don't
ask them not to look, ask them to pull in all their packages with their eyes closed.
I mean, yeah, right. So you know, I'm in a bit of a pickle, but what are you going to do? I'll figure it out. It's the happiest season.
How old is your oldest niece? She's 10 or 11?
I think she's 11.
She's 11. Okay.
Why?
I have a really great gift for her.
Tell me.
Okay. So when I was growing up, I loved these books. Alice Reynolds Naylor, the author of Shiloh. She also has this series called the Alice series, and it's all about this girl named Alice growing up, and each book is a grade, like fifth grade, sixth grade, whatever. So it starts in elementary school, and I think it goes all the way up to high school, I believe.
Oh.
So my niece just turned 10, and she's an avid reader. So
yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm going to get her this book series. I gave it to her, and then a couple days later, I got a message from my brother-in-law that's like, and it's a video, Neil's brother, who's always stoic. He's like a high school physics teacher. He's just like a man of science. Every time when he cracks a smile, I'm like, oh my God, I made Eric smile. Like,
I love people like that.
So it's a video of him, and he goes, I'm going to read a passage from the book Lovely by Alice Reynolds Naylor. And he starts reading this passage, and it's all about sex and periods and how babies are made. And no wonder I love this series when I was a little kid, because I'm a huge perv, but I didn't remember that any of this shit was in there. So apparently my niece didn't know how babies were made, and she had to have a conversation.
How old is she?
She's in fourth grade.
Okay.
She had to have a conversation with her mom because Aunt Kathleen gave her a book about sex. And get this. So she finds out how babies are made, and she's like, well, I don't know if I want a baby anymore.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, my little niece is like, why can't I know the secret about how babies are made?
Because you're ever going to have a distant look in your eye. You're never going to see the world the same way again, child.
My niece says to my sister-in-law, well, I know why I don't have more little cousins. Aunt Kathleen is not ready for that. And she's not completely incorrect, you know?
She's not wrong.
Yeah, I'm not ready to do the intercourse thing.
Do you remember what you thought when you first found out how babies are made?
Yeah, I thought that babies were taken out by the doctor with a huge suction cup.
That's also not wrong in some situations.
Yeah, I mean, how did you think that babies were made?
Well, I kind of always knew because my mom was an OBGYN nurse.
Yes.
So like she would bring home books and like charts on how dilated vaginas get.
Yeah.
Like just, and they would just be there.
But did you
kind of always knew
about penis insertion?
Well, so I did, but I was confused as to what penises looked like.
Yeah.
I think I knew in theory that they were external and a bit long, but I thought they were more like a proboscis because I remember once drawing a picture of two people having sex and they were about 6 feet apart. So this was very like ahead of its time. Arms were touching each other's shoulders like a middle school dance, kissing, lips very big and puckered out. And then his penis was coming out of his body along the ground and then shot back up in like a U shape into her like airy, like basic torso area. And I thought it was also something you could opt out of. I thought you could just, if you didn't want to do that, you could just kiss and get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And thank goodness that's not true because I would be pregnant so many times from random people in college.
So many times. So many makeouts. Yeah. So anyway, I highly recommend check with your sister first. But
wait. I'm like, that you recommend this book that destroyed your niece's youth.
No, you know what? It was time for her to learn. And if it had to be at the hands of a pervy Aunt Kathleen, then so be it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I mostly learned the nitty-gritty when I was in the basement of some family friends, and the kids were like, do you want to see this book? And they pulled out The Joy of Sex that they had found in their parents. We all learned together. Shout out to the Schroeders.
Oh, wow. This went from a Christmas joy to weird sex. Let's bring it back to Christmas joy.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays, except for the COVID deniers. Mm-hmm. Bethany.
Yes.
My friend, Whitney, she just got the most gorgeous little boy cat, little kitten. He's less than a year. Oh. And I was like, okay, I'm going to make you a list of all my favorite cat things that you need to live your best cat life. And at the top of the list was this litter box partner of ours that I'm so obsessed with, the Kitty Poo Club.
If you are a cat owner or you know someone who is, and maybe you don't empty the litter and wash the litter box every month like you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. I'm guilty of that. You need Kitty Poo Club. It's a pain in the butt to do it yourself. Kitty Poo Club is the all-in-one litter box solution designed to be convenient for you.
Every month, Kitty Poo Club delivers an affordable, high-quality, recyclable litter box that's pre-filled with the litter of your choice.
These boxes are amazing. They're leak-proof, eco-friendly, and they have a fun design for every season. And when the month is up, you just recycle the box. Kitty Poo Club automatically delivers a new one to you, so you don't have to change out used litter and you don't have to try to clean the litter box in your shower or your tub.
One, I wish that I could just get an empty box because the boxes are so beautiful and lined with this plastic so the the pee-pees and the poopies, they don't go through the box.
Yeah.
I want one to just, like, store my makeup in or something.
I mean, you know, maybe you can ask. They might send you an extra. And you can customize your order based on how many cats you have and what type of litter they prefer.
And Kitty Poo Club has a no-risk guarantee, and you can easily customize or cancel your order at any time.
And right now, Kitty Poo Club is offering you 20% off of your first order when you set up auto ship by going to kittypooclub.com and entering the promo code TASTE.
Just go to kittypooclub.com and enter the promo code TASTE to get 20% off when you set up auto ship.
That's kittypooclub.com, and don't forget to enter the promo code TASTE at checkout. Okay, Kathleen.
Yes.
I want to talk about the art of illusion.
Illusion.
And every time you say illusion, you have to clap and then, like, bring your hands in the air like you've just released doves. Like, okay. Illusion. Clap, release the doves. Yes, very good. Sometimes I just do this when I'm walking down the street.
People are like, who is that crazy lady? And can I join her coven?
I know. So, like I said in the beginning, I've been watching the show Jonathan Creek. Basically, it's about this man who is probably a bit on the spectrum if we were to write him today. And he's very analytical and brilliant. And so he creates all of these illusions for this over-the-top stage magician. And in the meantime, he helps solve crimes with a true crime writer. And
naturally,
this show, Kathleen, like, I can't wait till we're done podcasting so I can keep watching it. This is I'm obsessed with it.
This is like the British version of what's that show with the guy from Friday Night Lights where he gets the newspaper ahead of time and then he stops the disasters.
Psych?
No, it's like Good Day, Newsday, Sunday Paper, something like that.
No
anyway,
clue.
Do you know what show I'm talking
Not
about
a
where
clue.
He gets the newspaper? Okay, anyway, moving on.
Okay.
Erase. Forget I said that.
How does he manage to get the newspaper ahead of time? Does he know someone?
I think his cat is magical. There's something with a cat. Right.
So watching the show, a lot of the episodes, you know, he's building these illusions with this magician. And so you see how the tricks are done.
Ooh.
So that's like a part of it. It's like they're very, they take a lot of the magic and sparkle away from these stage illusions. And so you'll see like the magician crouched in half, like behind something as he's having a conversation with Jonathan Creek. So it led me back to one of my very first loves of show business, which is how magic illusions are done. And so, Kathleen, I am going to take you through some illusions.
Ooh.
And I'm going to teach you how they were done. Ooh.
Illusion.
So if you are not someone who was raised with David Copperfield, you need to watch some of his stuff on YouTube because, Kathleen, how much David Copperfield have you watched in your lifetime?
Not a lot. Can't say that I have watched anything, actually. So,
did you ever watch, he used to have these primetime specials where he would like make the Statue of Liberty disappear or walk through the Great Wall of China. Did you ever watch these?
Maybe. Was that the 90s?
Yeah.
Was it the 90s? Was it on cable television?
Yeah. No, I think it was on network like ABC or something.
Yeah, it's a possibility. Yeah, it's a possibility.
So I'm going to play for you one of his videos. Okay. And I know that podcasting is not a visual medium. However, I'm going to talk you through this illusion that he does because it is a lot of wind machines.
Okay.
It is a lot of deep, lusty looks that he's giving. It's so dated and wonderful. But the problem is, Kathleen, that I was going to play it off my phone, but I forgot that we need our phones to record video. And so I am going to have to play it off of my TV in the living room and just turn it up real loud. But I'm going to talk you through it.
Okay. Theater of the mind. I'm so excited. Okay. Okay.
Theater of the mind. So hold on. Just give me 1 second.
Wait, before you go, can you hear me? All right. She can't. Oh, hey, gentle listener. It's just you and me hanging out in this room. Bethany can't hear me right now. But she'll be back. I think she's just going to set it to be really loud on her TV, and then she's going to come back to the pod. So anyway, gentle listener, how you doing? What's going on? How's your mother? How's your father? How's your sister? Is she still doing that class at the college? Yeah, she's learning how to be an X-ray technician. It's a good job.
Okay, so I accidentally unplugged something, and so I have to wait for my thing to...
Okay, no problem. We're just here hanging out, having a coffee. Let's talk about the holidays because it's my favorite topic right now. I hope that everybody is having a safe holiday. They're not attending any Friendsgivings or Christmasgivings or...
Why are you saying that, Kathleen?
No reason at all. Wait, you can actually hear me, Bethany.
Yeah, I can hear you. But do you want to maybe address a friend of yours or something via the pod, like a kind of subtweet friend? No,
I can't do that anymore. It gets me in trouble every time I address a friend.
Do you want to? You don't want to talk about Friendsgiving?
I don't want to talk about Friendsgivings. Just
kind of seems like you maybe want to talk about Friendsgiving.
I don't want to talk about Friendsgiving. Bethany, play your damn video.
Okay, hold on.
How dare you? You be nice to my friend. Oh, so.
She's not your friend.
She's my friend.
Okay. I don't know how this is going to work, but I am going to do my best. Okay. I'm going to turn the volume way, way up.
Okay. Oh my God. Your neighbors are going to kill you.
They hate me already.
Yeah.
Can you hear this?
Yeah. It sounds like monks chanting.
You got it, okay, girl. Okay, cool. Dave Copperfield is standing on a stage. The wind is blowing his hair as he brings two cables together. Flashes of light and electricity.
Choo, choo, choo.
He looks off into the distance and sees a giant saw. He lets the cables go. He cannot handle them anymore. His shirt unbuttoned. We pan around a giant saw, roughly the size of a Subaru, as it hangs over the stage.
A saw?
David Copperfield hits it. It is steel.
What will he cut?
Lights. Fog. David Copperfield. Monks. We look up.
Yes.
Now two male assistants walk by and bring a box on a table.
Are they sexy?
They are fucking sexy.
They're sexy. Yeah, of course they are. Coming through that fog. They're hot.
David Copperfield is revealed to now be lying inside the box on the table.
They're going to cut him in half?
They're going to cut him in half. They put steel U-frames over him, locking him to the table. He shows us it is him, and now they lock down his neck. He is stuck on the table via locks. These two men have shackled him to the table, and now they lift the box over him. He is hidden. And now they make some motions.
Yes.
And they lock the box to the table.
Tell me more.
David Copperfield is now locked inside this box on the table, and now the camera pans up. The giant buzzsaw starts. It is positioned atop the thing directly over the box, and they start a timer, Kathleen. The timer starts to count down and down. Every once in a while, the buzzsaw will drop a little bit more.
They're going to cut him in half.
They're going to cut him in the fucking half.
He's going to die. He's going to die.
Now we see his hands shoot out of the box. He's trying to get himself out of the box.
Will he get out of the box? Will he get out of the box?
His hands go back inside. There's movement. We see that he is attempting to free himself. Boy, it feels like it's taking forever. And it is. The saw continues down even further. And now his top half is out of the box, Kathleen. The box is gone, and we see his upper torso trying to wriggle out of the box. And now the bottom part of the box falls away, and we see his legs. His full body is on top of the table. And yet the buzzsaw is coming down further,
down further
and further.
Further.
He is struggling, Kathleen. He is trying to undo the waist shackles to get himself off of this table, but he can't get it in time. He's not panicking, but he's kind of panicking. And the buzzsaw is getting closer and closer. He is struggling, and his legs are stuck. He cannot get his waist undone, Kathleen. Is this the end of our beloved David Copperfield?
It is. It is.
Wait. Wait. It cut him in half.
Oh, my God. He's
the lights
dead.
Go red. We hear a scream. His body goes limp, and then nothing. And yet, his head. It moves.
How?
His arms. They wiggle.
But how?
The camera pans to the right. We see around the other side and his feet.
But how?
They're there.
How?
And now the assistants who are sexy pull the table apart and he is cut in half.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so then the rest of the illusion goes on, and, like, the assistants pull his body around, and, like, he looks at his feet. Someone in the audience yells, "Wiggle your feet!"
I'm just so
and
happy.
He probably gets...
He's still alive. He's still alive.
Look, he's fine. Kathleen, he made it, and that is because he is a professional. So do you know how this illusion is done?
I don't, but I do want to know. Will Jonathan Creek tell me?
He probably would. So, Kathleen, if you had to design an illusion where you needed someone to be cut in half, but you also
yes.
needed their feet to still move freely
yes.
and independently and potentially even, like, respond to instruction,
yes.
how would you do it?
I would have them – I'd have, like, fake legs outside mm-hmm. the box mm-hmm. with some, like, mechanical switches so you could, like, wiggle toes and mm-hmm. shit. And then – like Dave, the person who was in David Copperfield's position would have to like fold themselves in half.
Kathleen,
yeah,
this is why stage illusion is the art of running and curling into balls.
You have to be very flexible.
Very flexible. You are absolutely correct. This is done by David Copperfield lying on the table. They put the box over him.
Yeah.
He wriggles into a crouched position. There's a pocket under the table that he tucks his knees. So now he's like tucked like he's doing a cannonball. We only
yeah.
see the top half.
Yeah.
The back half of the table, there is a dude who
yeah.
is tucked in the opposite direction. So his head and torso are under the table and his
yeah.
legs are out. And that is how it's done.
That's how it's done.
The art of
that's you know what, Bethany?
Tucking into balls.
Are you taking notes for when we eventually go on a podcast tour and it's like a podcast / comedy / illusion
yeah,
tour?
Yeah, I'm taking copious notes. Are you stretching? Because it requires a lot of stretching.
I will. You know, that's like one of my goals for the month of December, but to stretch more. So I will also start like wiggling into weird positions more too while I'm
perfect.
Stretching.
Perfect. All right.
Thank you.
Let's do another illusion, Kathleen. I won't talk you through this one. That was just for special.
Okay.
So David Copperfield
yes.
walked through the Great Wall of China.
Through it. Like,
through
like,
it.
Through
this
it.
Is one of his most famous illusions.
Okay.
And did you do, yeah, do it with me. Illusions.
Illusions.
Doves. All right, let's talk about how he walked through the Great Wall of China. I hope everyone's okay with these illusions
okay.
being revealed because, like, a little bit of the magic disappears from your life. But, you know, it's fun.
It's okay.
So here's how the illusion is done. I'm going to talk you through it really quickly.
Okay.
So the magician, will just say mm-hmm. David Copperfield. David walks up to a platform that is on one side of the Great Wall of China. And then very dramatically, he hits
yes.
the Great Wall to prove to us that it is solid. You can do this with anything. You can do it with moving containers. You could do it with a building, anything that is solid. Then
okay.
they put up these see-through, basically like gauzy curtains so that David Copperfield walks
yeah.
up the stairs onto the platform. We can't see him, but we see his shadow, right? Because there's a light shooting towards him. So he is outlined behind
oh.
this gauzy curtain.
But we can't really see him.
No, we just see the outline of a David Copperfield.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm looking it up right now, yeah. And the Great Wall of China is 15 to 30 feet thick. So yeah. That's
thick. Fucking thick.
It's thick.
So then he does this like really dramatic thing where he like reaches and we see his arm disappear into the Great Wall of China and then like his whole body like disappears. And the best part is David Copperfield gets real dramatic. He has some people on one side of the wall, on top of the wall, and on the other side of the wall with these discs that can, quote unquote, sense his heartbeat. So we have a woman holding like this parabolic disc up to the Great Wall of China. It's going beep, beep, beep.
Yes, because it's important to keep a regular heartbeat as you're walking through 30 feet of stone.
Exactly. And in no way can that be faked. Mm-hmm. So then the camera on a giant crane goes up and over the wall, and then all of these Chinese people are on top of the wall, and then they get excited and rush to the other side of the wall, and then the dolly goes to the other side of the wall. Now, in the meantime, he has to get down, right? So he needs stairs. Mm. And so we see a staircase being wheeled over to the other side of the wall, and it goes up to the wall, and we see his hands pushing out against a curtain on the other side of the wall, but he can't seem to get through. What's going to happen? And then his assistants remove this little rubber screen that he was pushing against. They put up all of the same gauzy curtains, and we see him, his shadow, walk through the other side. They drop the curtains. He's there.
He's there.
Illusion.
Illusion.
Now, Kathleen.
Yes.
How would you do this?
He's in the staircase.
You are absolutely correct. He is in the staircase. Well,
what year did he do this trick?
Like 1994. Or something.
People were fairly formed to be full humans in 1994.
Yeah.
Didn't people understand that he was in the staircase?
No. I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. I learned today that he was in the staircase.
Really?
I think
he really walked through stone, girlfriend.
No. I think most people know it's not possible, but people don't know how he did it.
Okay.
So I always assumed that they dug a tunnel under the wall and he just like, you know, army crawled under the tunnel.
Yeah.
The way it's done is that the platform has like a trap door under it. So like David Copperfield gets in, goes under the trap door while a body double is like being shadowy behind the gauze. And then because of the way that it's lit, the body double can seem to go into the wall, but he just gets out of the light's path.
Gotcha.
And then David Copperfield tucks into the staircase, wheels around to the other side, comes out the staircase. And if they do the thing where it looks like he can't get out of the wall, it's just his assistants holding up a rubbery disc and using their own hands to push against it. So it looks like David Copperfield's hands are pushing out.
You know.
But it's fun.
Genius. It's really fun. Yeah. It's genius. Joke's on us, because David Copperfield made a lot of money off of that trick, as he did many of his tricks.
Yes.
It just further solidifies in my mind that should I ever be fortunate enough or wealthy enough to be able to build my own house, there needs to be trapdoors like this. So my kids.
Over the place.
I'll be like, mommy's watching. Don't make me come through that wall, kids. Don't make me.
And the kids won't know that there's trapdoors. The kids are just going to be terrified of you.
You can't tell them until they're 18 years old.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. If ever.
Yeah, if ever.
So one more illusion that we were forced to learn, and David Copperfield did not want this revealed, but he was sued in 2018 by an audience participant because he had a Las Vegas stage show.
Yeah.
And one of the illusions was, I believe, called Lucky Number 13.
Okay.
He would take 13 audience members, bring them up on stage.
Yeah.
They would sit in these seats. Curtains would come up. Curtains would fall down. And when the curtains came down, the audience members were gone. And then they would suddenly appear behind, like, in the audience somewhere else.
Okay.
Like, they're somewhere else, right?
So he was sued by one of the people he chose?
Right. So there was a man named Gavin Cox who says that he suffered an injury as they were doing this illusion. And part of David Copperfield's defense team, part of their thing was like, we can't tell you how the illusion is done because that's not fair. And the judge said, well, like 55,000 audience participants have done this trick with you so far. So it's not really a secret anymore. That many people have been involved in it over time.
Yeah.
So they had to reveal how this illusion was done to the court and thus to the world. And David Copperfield was pissed. Here's how it's done.
I mean, I would be pissed, but like, you're being sued. So it is what it is, dude. You know?
Yeah. So you know how earlier I said that the art of illusion is the art of like running and tucking?
Yes.
And tucking into a ball? This illusion is you get a bunch of people on a stage, mm-hmm. you bring up these curtains, mm-hmm. stagehands with flashlights come out,
yeah.
and lead everyone as they run like hell through a bunch of, you know, hallways and passages and
tunnels.
Tunnels, outdoors, indoors, through the MGM Grand Resort kitchen, and then they re-enter the back of the theater for the big finale. And so this guy was suing because apparently he like tripped and fell and then had a brain aneurysm or something, which doesn't seem connected completely to the like the brain thing, but
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Gotta make a living. So
gotta make a living.
Gavin Cox.
So so that's how the illusion is done. And David Copperfield was pissed that people found out that really he just has all of these secret
tunnels.
Like pipe and drape hallways that the audience members are just like running like hell through to get to the back of the auditorium.
That's like not even that big of a secret because you think of all the people that are already working at MGM that know that these things exist.
Yes, exactly.
Silly. That's so, why I don't go to Vegas. I just... I've only been there once on a work trip and I never left the resort where the work trip was. I've never seen the strip.
I've been there 3 times, all on work trips, and I never really did much besides work.
Yeah.
Can I tell you one more thing I learned that I don't know if this is true or not about David Copperfield?
Absolutely.
A magician no one cares about anymore?
Yeah, the magician that I sat next to once in 2016.
I'm doing I've like pegged my whole segment on a magician no one cares about anymore.
Listen, it was the after party for the You Can See Me Now #2. You can't see me, you still see me, you know, the one with Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, they should have called it Now You Don't.
Now you,
because the first one was Now You See Me, right?
Yeah, and Jesse Eisenberg's sister was there, and I was like, oh my god, the Pepsi girl,
she's great.
Yeah.
Do you remember I made out with that one guy and he asked me if I could do a Jesse Eisenberg impression because he could and then he did it for me?
Oh, that guy
Yeah, remember that? Mm-hmm. That was weird.
The one with the Superman undies?
Yeah, same guy.
Gentle listener, this is somebody super famous we're talking about, but you know.
Anyway.
We're not going to drop any names.
When I was in college, I worked with a guy in the theater department who did like all of our tech.
Yeah.
And whenever David Copperfield came to town, this guy got hired to be, you know, working on the crew. And I said to him, having a big crush on David Copperfield, how does David Copperfield get to the back of the auditorium? And the stage guy said, which David Copperfield? And I was like,
he has a body double.
Scandalo.
That's when you know you've made it, when you have a body double. Yeah.
I know. Kim Kardashian has a body double just to try on her clothes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Bethany.
Yes.
I've been waiting to do another HelloFresh commercial since our last one, actually. Because things have been crazy with the holiday season and Neil and I have been not so great about cooking dinner. And so I was like, okay, I am going to subscribe to HelloFresh and see how it goes for the next couple of weeks because I need help with dinner basically every night a week. I'm getting 4 dinners a night from HelloFresh. And it is the best decision I ever made because we've been eating the most delicious foods. These are the things that we've had lately. Spicy maple chicken.
Ooh.
Chickpea smoked paprika couscous with roasted veggies.
That sounds good.
And next week, I'm so excited. I have a vegan ragu coming where the impossible meat is included in my HelloFresh recipe.
It's so great. Look, one of the hardest things is figuring out what you're going to make and then making sure you have all the right ingredients and not overbuying and then wasting food. HelloFresh gives you convenient, no-contact delivery to your doorstep so you get easy home cooking with your family, and they deliver fresh, high-quality, pre-portioned ingredients so you can make meals that are delicious and nutritious.
One of my favorite things about HelloFresh, unlike other meal services that I've tried in the past, is that HelloFresh comes with each meal all the ingredients in this paper bag, including the produce in the paper bag. And the paper bag helps the produce stay fresh longer. So I'm not like shuffling through a huge box and like, where does this zucchini go? And when do I use like this ear of corn? It's all in one paper bag. I put the paper bags in the fridge. And then I say to my husband, it's your turn tonight, honey. You're going to make the black bean tacos.
And by the way, HelloFresh is the first global carbon neutral meal kit company.
Love that.
So go to HelloFresh.com/taste80 and use the code TASTE80 to get $80 off, including free shipping.
Again, go to HelloFresh.com/taste80 and use the code TASTE80 to get $80 off, including free shipping.
Kathleen, you know what a subscription box is, right?
Yeah, I sure do.
Yeah, you know, there's like animal ones and there's, you know, ones for food, and we work with them. We love them. But did you know that there is one great place where you can shop thousands of subscriptions no matter what your interest is?
You mean all different types of subscription boxes on one website where I can basically shop for everybody in my family during the holidays, plus on birthdays, plus more, in a single spot?
Girl, you know it. We are talking about Crate Joy. It's the world's first and only subscription box marketplace. If you have someone in your life that you don't know what to get them, but you know they love, let's say, true crime, you go to Crate Joy, type in like crime or murder or mysteries. There are subscription boxes that have to do with that. Or if you love gardening, you can get subscription boxes about gardening.
Oh, I'm on Crate Joy right now, checking out all of these amazing subscription boxes. I want the one that has to do with plants. I also want the one that has to do with baths. I also want the one that has to do with a mystery game night.
Yeah, there's so many you can choose from.
Is it bad if I just subscribe to these boxes for myself?
No, I mean, that's called self-care.
Yes.
And plus, like, if you're giving this as a gift, it would be so hard and be so expensive to try to curate a gift box for somebody if you didn't know. Like, if you have someone who loves comics,
yeah,
but you don't know anything about comics, yeah, you don't know what to give them. Crate Joy knows what to give them.
There's still time to find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. You can shop thousands of subscription boxes all in one place, and you can get 30% off of your first box when you sign up at cratejoy.com/taste.
That's right. Sign up today at cratejoy.com/taste and get 30% off of your first box and shop Crate Joy's holiday specials.
Check out Crate Joy. Get joy delivered right to your door.
We just spent the last 30 seconds trying to figure out if David Copperfield and Jane Seymour, Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, ever fucked.
They were fucked. They look like they belong together a little bit, you know?
I know. Okay. They're both so beautiful.
Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman and the Man of Illusion.
Ooh, illusion!
I mean, isn't a lot of medicine just illusion anyway?
I mean, a lot of it is. I think so.
Here's a pill. You feel better. Oh, you're right, doctor. I do feel better.
I do.
All right. No, I'm not. I am not a science denier. I'm a science believer. Okay.
Science is important.
All right. Bethany.
Yes.
Before we know it, we are going to be traveling again because a vaccine for this dang COVID. We are on the brink of a vaccine.
We are. Yes. Many are promising. Some have been pushed through, I believe. So now they're really starting to figure out like who's going to get the first ones.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And this makes me very excited. And I'm just going to lay it all out on the table because this is a December episode. It's the end of the year. So why not?
Yeah, totally.
2020, I was going to spend the year traveling. I was. It was the first time in my life when I wasn't like stuck to another person's vacation schedule. And so I was like going to travel by myself. I was going to travel with my brother. I was going to travel with my husband. And then I like to be brutally honest, or not brutally, but like, I don't know, whatever. I'm not sure what adjective I want to put before the word honest in this sentence.
Okay. Yeah. Honestly honest.
Honestly honest. I was thinking about maybe trying to get pregnant at the end of 2020 after I was doing all of this traveling.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Obviously, this is water in my glass, but it might as well be wine because I'm not with child.
Yeah.
And I feel like none of my dreams were realized this year. And we'll talk about that in a later episode. You know, we still have two more for the rest of the year. But got me thinking, 2021, the year of travel.
Okay.
Where's the first place you're going to go when you get the vaccine?
Oh, man. You know what? I really want to go to, I think, Ireland.
Okay. All right. So I have a plan for us. The reason I'm doing this is because I was perusing glamour.com.
Yes.
And also the newyorker.com.
Yes.
And Bethany, I shit you not, the Ireland Board of Tourism has been doing a lot of advertising.
Really?
On American websites. And so I think that they're trying to get like people from America to travel to Ireland. We should get in touch with them and just be like, hey, we're a podcast. We will podcast all over Ireland.
We have a modest listenership. Are you interested?
If you pay for us to go. No, I'm telling you not. Look at my notes. It says glamour-newyorker-ireland-tourism. Okay. Anyway, Travel and Leisure Magazine. I think in one of our future What's Your Job episodes, we should talk to an old friend of mine, an old colleague who is an editor for Travel and Leisure. Her Instagram.
Ooh.
banging because she just gets.
Is she still traveling and leisuring?
I don't think so. I think that they've been creative. I think a lot of travel and leisure content is now COVID content. But her Instagram is like all these amazing places she gets to go and all this amazing food she gets to eat. And I'm like, damn, I'm so jealous.
That's a good life right there.
I want to go to Ireland. I want to rent a car. I want to go on the road for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Drive around the country.
Yeah.
I want to have a pint in every pub in Ireland, do you think?
What happens if you don't like beer?
Have you ever tried a Guinness?
Yes.
And you really don't like Guinness?
It's dark.
Yeah. It's dark, but it's not heavy. It's like, it's not going to sit in the bottom of your stomach.
Okay. Maybe it's been, the last time I had one, literally, I was in college trying to impress a boy.
Okay.
So it's been a while. It didn't work, by the way. I don't think he was very impressed.
I also want to go to Italy. Have you ever been to Italy?
I have not.
Travel and Leisure is saying that Italy is their top destination for 2021.
Do they say why?
Yeah, probably because Italy took a huge hit in terms of their travel economy and also in terms of just like their reputation because COVID was so bad there.
If I go to Italy, will the people all stand on their balconies and sing opera like they did at the beginning of quarantine? Is that a thing I can ask?
I don't think that they're doing that anymore. You know, like us, we're not clapping in New York anymore for healthcare workers. So I don't think that they're.
Did we talk on the podcast about the listserv we're on where a woman got real defensive because no one's clapping for the healthcare workers anymore?
No, I didn't see that email. Maybe I missed that one. Yeah, we're on a listserv for ladies who work in radio.
And sometimes it gets really aggressive and angry and people start sniping at each other and it's very entertaining. And I learn a lot. But there was a woman who was looking for an employee and wasn't willing to pay very much for that employee.
Yeah.
And so she was getting some feedback about like we should be supporting other women and like paying them a livable wage.
Yes.
And she was a doctor and she made some backhanded passive aggressive comment like, well, it's hard, you know, for healthcare workers too. By the way, no one's clapping anymore. And it was like, oh man, you're not buying yourself any fans right now on this listserv.
Yes, livable wages are very important, especially when you need to save money to travel.
Yeah, sorry, I really sidetracked
this. No, it's okay. Italy is one of my favorite vacations ever. And there's so much to do and see in that whole country. That was one of the only places where I'm like, okay, I need to come back here. Like,
when did you go to Italy?
I went to Italy in the summer of 2017 or 2018.
Really? You just went?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. It was delicious. Bethany, especially in southern Italy where there are a lot of beaches, you just hang out all day on the beach. You get brioche and ice cream for breakfast. You eat a giant bowl of pasta at night. Oh my, the lemons are sweet enough that you can eat a lemon without getting the pucker face. That's just like so refreshing.
Is Italy expensive?
You can do any place on a budget.
Can I do it on a budget without getting murdered?
Yes, like, absolutely.
Or will I end up in a hostel? Hostel. Well,
so let me tell you a little bit about what Travel and Leisure is saying about Italy.
Please.
Turning me on. That's why I'm like putting on my sexy voice.
Yeah. Okay.
The best secret islands of Italy.
Oh, secret islands.
Lying an hour's ferry ride from the western coast of Sicily, craggy Favignana is the largest and most popular of the three Agadai Islands. Okay, anyway, blah, 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 blah. A butterfly-shaped landmass fringed by a jagged coastline interspersed with sandy beaches, and small secret coves, you'll find the impossibly clear azure waters of the Tyrrhenian Sea dotted with dinghies, sailboats, and yachts gliding silently along the rocky coast. Stock up on picnic essentials and head to the port to hire a small boat with or without a skipper and spend the day swimming, snorkeling, and sipping cold beer.
Question. I have a follow-up question. They're talking about the craggy coasts and the rocky coasts. That sounds dangerous.
Well, you missed the part where interspersed with sandy beaches and small secret coves. Yes.
I missed that part.
Secret coves and a picnic, snorkeling.
If you want to have sex with a native Italian, a secret cove would be a good place to do.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. I'm going to read you the description.
Oh, yes, please.
For one more Italian secret island before we move on to Switzerland.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Maritimo. Maritimo.
Maritimo.
The charm of this tiny, nearly traffic-free island, the most remote of the Egadai Islands, lies in its simplicity. Relative inaccessibility and lack of hotels have kept things here largely rustic.
So how do you get there?
Okay, so I'll get to that part. Stay a while renting simple rooms and apartments in the only town, a tumble of whitewashed, blue-shuttered buildings clustered around a delightfully shabby port. Then spend your time exploring sea caves and grottos, swimming off rocky shorelines, lingering over morning cappuccinos, and retreating to shady terraces with a book before feasting on local lobster soup in one of the simple trattorias. It's the ultimate wind-down destination. But if you have the energy, the walking trails through the scented makia, are well worth exploring. You may see peregrine falcons or even an eagle along the way.
Okay. Yeah. Whoever wrote this is brilliant.
Yes.
Because can I tell you what I heard from that?
Yes. It's poetry. Okay. It's poetry.
It's poetry. Mm-hmm. This place has kind of a shitty port. There's not a lot to do.
Yeah.
So you're going to spend a lot of time reading. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get to.
Yeah.
So you're going to need to be real good at walking because it is kind of treacherous.
Yes.
There's not a lot of places to eat.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of things to do or go to.
Yeah, but there's lobster soup. And there's afternoons on shady terraces.
Yeah, so you're going to be sitting on a porch a lot.
And there's grottos.
Doing nothing. Okay. And you're going to be drinking a lot of coffee, doing nothing. Okay. And then when you're done, you're going to have to go back to this kind of shitty port that you had to walk really far to get to.
How is drinking a lot of coffee and doing nothing at all different than what you and I do at home?
Look, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I just think it's very, whoever wrote that very skillfully spoke around the issues.
Yes.
How do they call the port? A delightfully shabby port?
A relative inaccessibility and lack of hotels have kept things largely rustic.
No one wants to go there and no one can get there.
A tumble of whitewashed, blue shuttered buildings clustered around a delightfully shabby port.
So some rundown buildings that are falling apart are sitting by a port that's falling apart.
Bethany, we are taking this goddamn podcast on the road, whether you like it or not. We're going to sign up for vaccines as soon as we can, and we're going on the road.
I mean, I'm okay with it. I'm okay. And actually, that sounds lovely. Like drinking coffee in a grotto all day sounds wonderful.
I'm going to drag you there.
I will be the most, amped up mermaid there ever was.
Okay. All right. Switzerland.
Switzerland.
Switzerland has the world's longest pedestrian suspension bridge.
AKA, you're going to have to walk a lot.
Okay.
Put on your walking shoes, dum-dums. It's time to trek.
I'm going to include all the links to all of these travel and leisure articles that I'm talking about in our show notes. USA Today reported that the local tourist authority in Switzerland for this bridge is warning that it's for hikers with no fear of heights.
Okay, so it's a really scary, treacherous bridge.
Super
that goes
scary.
On for a long time.
Yeah, but then at the end of the paragraph, they say, we challenge you not to yodel while you're walking across. Yeah.
Okay, so that has nothing to do with anything. They're filling space.
Spectacular bridges. Yes. Because there's like a whole equation when you're writing articles online. Like the first paragraph has to have a certain amount of words. so Google will pick it up and put it in the Google feed and stuff. And it's,
jeez.
Yeah. So that's why writers for online things add sentences like, we challenge you not to yodel at the end of paragraphs. Anyway, okay.
That's insane.
If you're planning on walking arm in arm with a partner, think again. This bridge only measures 25.6 inches wide. It's just enough for one person single file.
Okay, so it's like a crappy suspension bridge.
Yes. No, it's a Bethany, you should look up the name of it, which I don't have in my notes. So let me hang on. Longest suspension. I want you to see how beautiful it is. Bridge, Switzerland. I forgot to write that. The Alpenwild. Alpenwild. That's Alpen Wild. suspension bridge. It looks beautiful.
Damn.
Okay. So let me tell you a little bit more about it. It's a third of a mile long, and it hangs 270 feet in the air, and you walk over the Grabengufer ravine.
It's
near Zermatt.
Nope.
We're going to do that on our way home from Italy.
Oh my God. I'm looking at pictures. I'm going to throw up. Gentle listener, look at pictures. You're going to throw up.
It's going to be good. No, it's okay. Woof. You know, not woof. We're moving on to France.
Okay.
We're going to go hiking. We're going to go hiking in the south of France.
More hiking? Does nowhere have cars?
Bethany, if you want to be a real traveler and a real adventurer, hiking is part of the protocol.
Some of the realest adventurers went in boats, massive ships. They weren't walking everywhere. They were sailing, and wait, other people were pulling them.
Do you know what I learned today? Speaking of boats, massive boats, I learned that the cast of Titanic, when they were filming it, they were poisoned by a disgruntled caterer who wanted to take something out on James. Who's the director of that? James?
Cameron.
Cameron. Apparently, like, James Cameron was really mean to the catering staff, and so they poisoned the soup with PCP. They laced it with PCP. And everybody who ate clam chowder soup on the set had to go to the hospital because they were fucking high.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. Yeah, I've heard some things about James Cameron.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, he like makes great movies. Except, when the fuck is Avatar, the next one, coming out? Like, I've been waiting.
Does anyone care?
I do. I do. The first one was really good. Anyway, we're south of France.
Okay.
There is a picturesque new trail in the south of France, and it's every hiker's dream. The article I was reading was from 2018, so it's 2 years new.
Okay.
Not brand new. It's a new hiking trail that will take you along the gorgeous blue coasts of southern France. It's called the Grand Sentier de la Côte, or de la Côte Bleue, Côte Bleue. Or if you're English, Big Blue Coast Trail.
It sounds better in French.
Yeah, 40 miles long, and it runs between Marseille and Martigny. Anyway, it took 2 years for France to plan this out. Okay. So they like plan this out. It's not a natural trail. Okay. Are any trails natural? I don't know. It takes hikers through gorgeous, picturesque villages, stunning cliffs, coves, and abundant seaside views.
That sounds lovely. Do you have to go? Are there stops?
Yeah, there's stopping points.
Great, because 40 miles is a lot of miles.
Yeah, there's a lot of like little beach towns that you can stay and swim in and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Great. That sounds like a place they went on The Talented Mr. Ripley. You know, they're all just like luxuriating. Yeah.
I was just watching that movie yesterday.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
You get to see Matt Damon's buttocks.
Yeah, that movie was so good. I was worried about Gwyneth's skin the whole time because she's so fair, you know, but she's out in the sun the whole time.
I know. So this is on, we're going to go to the south of France. You cool with that?
Yeah. I feel like that's a fancy place to go. And people say that they go to, just the south of France. Everyone's like secretly impressed, but they want to pretend they're not impressed because they want to be cool. That's what I do.
Yeah, south of France. Hot tip before we go, you must get yourself some water shoes.
What are water shoes?
You know, shoes that you wear in the water so you can walk on rocks and still swim and not step on sea urchins.
Oh, like those shoes that I used to get when I went to the water park.
Yes. Yeah, so you didn't get foot fungus. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, some water shoes.
Best $10 Amazon investment you'll ever make. Okay.
Do they make cute thigh-high water shoes?
You do not need thigh-high water shoes, Bethany.
Black ones.
You are not Alexis, what's the Rose? Last name? You are not Alexis Rose, even though you might be. You kind of
turn
might
on
be.
All those French boys with my thigh-high water shoes.
Okay, let's bring this back around to Ireland.
Okay.
If there are any gentle listeners listening to this, Ireland has a month-long matchmaking festival every year.
Oh, my God.
So if you want to find love, all you have to do is visit Ireland. You can get more information about this at matchmakerireland.com, but I'm here to tell you.
Give us all the deets. Yes. Spill the tea, Kathleen.
While many people may consider Paris the city of love, perhaps a visit to Lisdoonvarna in County Clare, Ireland will change your mind. Every fall, this quaint little town is home to a huge matchmaking festival where thousands of people flock to find the one.
To fuck.
It was canceled this year, but mostly the festival is for rural farmers who don't have access to singles bars or Tinder.
Absolutely. You're busy being on your farm. You have to take care of everything.
Yeah. This festival has been a tradition that's been going on for 150 years.
That's awesome.
Willie Daly, the festival's resident matchmaker and most famous matchmaker in Ireland, still uses this old-fashioned method for helping people fall in love. Over the last 50 years, Daly has apparently set up 3,000 marriages.
Whoa. I feel like this is so pure.
It's very pure.
I love this.
Yeah, and there's live music, there's dancing on three separate weekends in September when this goes on. It usually starts August 30th and goes until September 30th.
Wow. Oh, that's lovely.
I'd love to go. There's even an LGBTQ-friendly matchmaking weekend called The Outing.
No.
It's a part of this matchmaking festival. Happens in Ennis, also in County Clare. Yeah, so next year, Bethany, if you and I are single, we're going.
Okay, well, I hope we're not.
I hope we're not, too.
I don't foresee any reason why we would be, but yeah, sure.
Or, you know, we could escort some taste buds who are single who would like to move to a rural farm in Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we'll just like push them onto the dance floor, onto the dance hay.
Then we're going to Denmark. You know why?
Why?
Because Denmark has opened the world's first happiness museum in Copenhagen.
What does that involve? If it was, wait, no, wait, hold on. What would it be for you? What would the happiness museum include for you?
A lot like that description of that off the beaten path Italian island.
Oh, okay.
Swimming, coffee, sunshine, books, shady terraces, shabby ports. What would it be for you?
Oh, just like making out.
Making out.
Yeah, just making out.
You know when it's, you know when you like kiss somebody for the first time and you get to feel what their mouth feels like?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Oh,
you know, when you're married and sometimes you don't kiss for a long time, when I kiss my husband, I'm like, oh, I like this. I like your mouth. I forgot it. I forgot about your mouth.
I know. And if your partner has facial hair and then no facial hair and then facial hair and then no facial hair, it's like a surprise. Yes. It's like a bunch of different people.
Yeah. So Denmark. Okay. We talked a lot about Denmark in the beginning of the year because I did a whole episode on Hygge.
You did? God, that felt like a million years ago.
So Denmark is, I guess CNN is now saying it's the second happiest country on earth. I don't know what the first one is this year. I probably should have done a little bit more research before this podcast.
That's all right. Don't worry about it.
So Mike Viking, Meek, he's the same guy who wrote that book that I talked about.
Yeah.
He is the CEO of the Happiness Research Institute. So he's in charge of this museum.
Great.
He said that we thought, why don't we create a place where people can experience happiness from different perspectives and give them an exhibition as to where they can become a little bit wiser around some of the questions that we try to solve, such as how do people experience happiness in different parts of the world?
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah. So it talks about what happiness means in different cultures.
You know what? That's not really something I've given a lot of thought to. Because you assume that everyone sees happiness the same way you see happiness, but like happiness to one person might be an abundance of resources.
Yeah.
Whereas for someone else, it's like everything is okay today. Like my family is good today and I have enough money today.
Yeah. That I have food might be in happiness. My fridge. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Speaking of food in the fridge, we are next on our way to Germany.
Ooh.
Where Instagram food porn is illegal.
What?
Okay. So we've all been there. I've been there. I've done it. You're out to eat. Maybe the restaurant you're eating at is famous. The dish you're about to bite into is famous. Mm-hmm. The ramen burger or the krona or whatever.
Yeah.
And you take a picture of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before you eat it.
Sure.
In Germany, snapping photos of your food is a potential copyright violation of the chef's creation.
Oh, that's interesting. I can see that.
According to Germany's The Local, which I think is a newspaper, in 2013, there was a ruling by the country's Federal Court of Justice that expanded copyright protections to include elaborately arranged food, deciding that this awesome plating is an artistic property of the chef, and those who wish to show it off beyond the restaurant walls need permission from whoever created it.
Kathleen, that makes so much sense because there are some chefs, I don't remember, there was one who used to come into where we worked a lot, and he was really creative about how he made, like he would hang bacon from tiny clotheslines that he put on his plates and stuff. That's their work.
Yes.
It's the same as not being able to take pictures of paintings in a museum. I see that.
So, yeah, don't take any pictures of your food and post them without permission question mark. I mean, I just don't see how this can be enforced. But anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. If we went to Germany,
I like that.
We need to be careful.
And you know, I can understand that. I can understand that.
All right, let's wrap this up.
Okay.
We're going to bring it back around to Christmas.
Okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. This magical Christmas market was voted Europe's best for the third straight year in a row. So this article is from 2017.
Okay.
But I think that's still a high achievement. If I was voted anything 3 years in a row, I would find a way to work it into daily conversation.
Absolutely. Part of your bio on your website.
Yeah. I mean, in fourth grade, I had the highest science average at the end of the year out of the whole grade. Still work that into conversation every single day.
Got to. Mm-hmm. I was voted the best crossing guard in fifth grade. So
no, you weren't.
I got to go to, I got to go to Washington, D.C. Got real homesick, too, and had to call my parents.
I think I knew that about you, and that doesn't surprise me at all about you.
I was a real good crossing guard.
Okay, so the best Christmas market in all of Europe?
Yeah.
It is in Zagreb, Croatia.
What?
Yeah, Croatia.
Zagreb?
Zagreb. And so Croatia was one of the places that I was supposed to go this year because I wanted to do some like Game of Thrones checking outing of like where they film it.
Yeah, my goodness.
Croatia is also very cheap and beautiful beaches. So if you're looking for something that's not Greece, a lot of friends of mine have said Croatia is the place to be.
Wow. I never heard. You don't really think of like Croatia. Beaches.
Beaches. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
So more than 200,000 people voted. The Zagreb Christmas market continually impressed tourists and locals alike with its incredible light decorations, fabulous open-air entertainment, and tons of pop-up shops with just about every gift under the sun. This is how you spell it, if gentle listener and Bethany, if you want to look up a photo. Zagreb, Z-A-G-R-E-B.
Yeah, Zagreb.
Plus, the enormous market spreads out across the city rather just being packed into one block.
Oh, I miss a Christmas market.
Yeah. There are two main squares where like the main central parts are, but it's just across the whole city. And so you visit Zagreb and it's like you're living in a Christmas market, just walking anywhere. There's a giant Christmas tree, a fountain in the square that's turned into a gorgeous light display, and an ice skating rink in King Tomislav Square.
You know, I bet if the Hallmark Channel had more of a budget for its Christmas movies, they should film them there.
Yes.
Instead of Canada. Although it's great that they film them in Canada, but like.
Or Vermont.
Or Vermont. Everything is set up, it sounds like, already.
The market is only open during the Advent, which means it closes on December 24th. So if you happen to be near Croatia, you've got 9 days to get there. I don't even think they're letting Americans in. But next year, gentlemen.
Next year. You have plenty of time to plan for a Croatian extravaganza next year.
I think about all the time I spend putting items into my cart on neimanmarcus.com that I can't afford. That like just in case I hit the lottery this week, I'm going to buy. I'm going to start planning vacations with my spare time.
I thought you did already.
I did, and then I got away from it because like you couldn't travel. I spent all my travel money on a Peloton this year. I need to start putting money back into my bank account, my travel bank account.
I think that's a good idea. Did you pay yourself this month yet?
No, not yet, but I will.
Got to.
Yeah.
Put that right in.
So anyway, Bethany, I'm going to start planning a route for us.
So from Italy to Ireland to Croatia and back.
There's going to be other places in between.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
But first, does anyone have the email address to the Ireland Board of Tourism? Because we need to get in touch.
We have a moderate listenership that would enjoy some deets.
My last name is Heaney.
If you're feeling like you want to get into some better shape and get some energy flowing through your muscles again, you probably know that boxing and kickboxing are really great options. They energize you. They get your muscles all toit. But we can't really go to gyms right now.
Mrs. Oltoit. That is exactly why people are saying that Fight Camp is the only workout that they've stuck with. Fight Camp is this really cool kickboxing workout that you can do at home. They send you a boxing bag.
Yeah.
They send it to your house. It's really easy to move around. You can tuck it into the corner when you're not using it. And it also comes with tutorials that keep you engaged, teach you how to kickbox. And you know what? If you are already an experienced kickboxer, there are classes on Fight Camp for experienced kickboxers too.
Yeah, it comes with all the gear you need. So you get the freestanding punching bag. It's the best one on the market. Mm-hmm. Great quality boxing gloves, quick hand wraps, and their unique punch tracking sensors, so you're getting your real-time progress and stats.
Plus, if you have kids who have a lot of energy because they've been cooped up inside because we're quarantining during this pandemic, they can use it too. It's great for kids. But even better, paste a picture of your boss on it and then just repeatedly hit your boss in the face.
It's the only legal way to hit your boss in the face. So Fight Camp offers flexible financing for as low as 0% APR and $0 down. And right now, as a limited time holiday offer, get free shipping and a gift valued up to $109 with every Fight Camp package.
Just go to joinfightcamp.com/taste. That's right. Get free shipping and a gift valued up to $109 with your purchase. Bring an authentic boxing and kickboxing gym into your home with Fight Camp.
To get your free gift, just go to joinfightcamp.com/taste. Again, that's joinfightcamp.com/taste. Kathleen, I have to call you out for something in a gentle and supporting way.
Oh, no.
We are not recording video right now, and so I can see how filthy your room is behind you. And that's not why I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out because you're wearing this beautiful chartreuse, like a pea green sweater, and it's gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. You like my sweater. This is my favorite color.
I can tell. Do you know how I know it's your favorite color?
Why?
Because in that giant pile of clothes on your couch behind you is the identical chartreuse sweater in the exact same color that's in like a pile of, I don't know, dirty laundry question mark. Do you own the same sweater?
Oh my God.
Twice?
Yeah. You know what, Bethany? I do. And I don't... Shit. You know what? We're not taping this today. And so I'm letting my true self hang out. I got out of bed 10 minutes ago. I'm wearing this beautiful / dirty chartreuse sweater that has food all over it. And I didn't clean up the mess that's on the chair behind me because you're family.
Right. Of course.
And yeah. I guess it is identical, the sweater on the chair behind me, to the one I'm wearing. It's a good sweater.
It's a great sweater. Did you know you had two of them?
No, I'll tell you what. I didn't. The one behind me is from Ann Taylor Loft. I got it last year.
Yeah.
Forgot that I got it. Then I ordered this one on Target this year. And it turns out it's basically the same sweater shit.
By the way, people think ATL stands for Atlanta. It stands for Ann Taylor Loft. When people are like, we're going to the ATL, they're going to get some sensible business suits.
No, Ann Taylor Loft, Bethany, is the cooler, younger, more funky sister to regular Ann Taylor.
Dude, I love Ann Taylor Loft.
You can't get business suits at Ann Taylor Loft. I love Ann Taylor Loft.
I just got a scalloped halter because I'm trying to, you know, wear color.
Yeah.
And so I got the vibrant color of beige in like a silk halter with scalloped edges. And it's very pretty. And I'm wearing it to Christmas.
From Ann Taylor Loft?
Uh-huh. Sure did.
Dude, they've been having some good sales, man.
Yeah. It was final sale. It was like $12.
Doesn't it make you nervous when you're buying something online and they're like, in all red letters, final sale?
I know.
And you're like, am I making the right decision?
You're like, oh no, do I really know my body shape as well as I thought I did? Because this is final sale.
You start questioning everything in your life. You're like, but will I really wear it? Do I have anyone in my life to appreciate this garment on my body? Do I even have anywhere to go that this is appropriate?
My big thing is there a side zipper? Because if there's a side zipper, it will not fit me. There's this phenomenon. Please, gentle listener, let me know if this applies to you. I've never met anyone like this, where my rib cage is very, very wide. And so anything with a side zipper won't fit me. But if the same garment has a back zipper, it will fit me. And I think trying to zip and put the pressure point where my rib cage sticks out is like more than the garment can handle. And so even now, if I'm about to buy like a dress online,
yeah,
if it has a side zipper, I won't buy it.
It doesn't make any sense because
it makes no sense.
The same radius, is that the word that I'm looking for?
circumference.
If there's a zipper on the side or if there's a zipper on the back, I don't get it.
I think that the zipper on the side, it just, because usually also it's a more of a, like a hidden zipper. It's a delicate, and that delicate area just cannot handle my rib cage. My rib cage could crack walnuts.
And if you yank it too hard, it's like rip.
Yes, exactly. So, that was my phone. I apologize.
Oh, it's not a problem.
Joe likes my message.
Oh, I'm glad. Good for Joe. Joe? Question mark, Joe? Do you have other people in your life but me that I don't know about?
Yes, I have several friends. None as close as you.
Oh my God, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Speaking of people in our phones, Kathleen, that we don't know, have you ever gone through your contact list and like cleaned it?
No.
Deleted people?
Is that something that people do?
Well, it's interesting because I was looking for a phone number the other day, and the phone number adjacent to it was a person that I realized I had been in like a group therapy session with once when I was in my early 20s. And it was those things where you promise you're going to stay in touch forever because you've been through so much emotional stuff together, and then we never talked again.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I deleted her for her own privacy, whatever, whatever. But have you ever done that?
No, I haven't. I'm looking through my phone right now. I'm trying to see if there's anybody who I truly don't know who they are.
Our phone contact lists are time capsules.
Bangkok Garden. I have no idea where that is. I have that in my phone.
I bet it's a delicious restaurant.
Where's Bangkok Garden?
Here's a guy I went to college with named Aaron.
Oh, so you at least you know who he is.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Oh my God, I have so many people in this phone that I haven't spoken to since I was 17 years old.
It's crazy. I have someone named Alex I don't know.
Who's Dr. Cho?
I don't know Dr. Cho.
I don't know Dr. Cho. Oh, I have the phone number to the Marie Claire Fashion Closet in my phone. That's cool. Can we call and ask for samples?
Do you know who I realized I have in my phone?
Who?
Who's the minister who recently, Justin Bieber's former religious advisor who just got kicked out of his own church?
He got kicked out of his own church? Why did he get kicked out of his own church?
He was cheating on his wife.
No way. What a scam. Yes, we met him a handful of times. He was a guest on the radio show we used to work on.
Yeah, he's in my phone for some reason. He gave me his phone number for some reason, and he's still in my phone. I think I should probably delete that.
Derek. I have a Derek. I have no idea who this is.
Carl Lentz. That's the name of the guy. Carl Lentz. He's in my phone.
That's crazy. Well, he's single now. Oh, you're not single, so don't.
I'm not single now. I'm not interested.
If you have any friends that are single, hit him up.
That's really strange.
Erica. I don't know who this is. Erica, no last name.
The best part of our episode was when we just listed random people that no one knows.
You know what? I need to start saving people where I know them from.
Yeah. Yeah. Or use an emoji or something. I had like the women in my Ariel classes, their last name is just Ariel. So it's like, you know, whatever. Oh,
I know who this is. George the painter. He's George and he's a painter.
Have you ever given someone a fake name in your phone so you won't call them?
No.
I had an ex that I put in my phone as Z Wussy A-hole so that he was at the very bottom of my contacts list and that I knew he was a wussy A-hole and I would never call him again.
I have someone saved as blah, 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 fucking backstabbing bitch. So...
Is that all one word last name?
No, it's not. Like I think 80s. It's hyphenated. Fucking backstabbing bitch.
The second of the Westchester backstabbing bitches.
What'd you have for dinner last night?
I had a cup of almond milk and some protein powder and 2 glasses of wine.
Bethany, that is not enough food. I'm angry at you.
No, that's fine. What did you have for dinner? I just didn't want to make anything. What'd you have?
I had a HelloFresh black bean burrito.
Ooh.
It was delicious. It was the second night in a row I had a burrito.
Ooh. Yeah, burritos are delicious.
But I'm asking because I think I'm going to embark on a new journey. In 2021, I have a couple of vegetable cookbooks. So okay. I think I'm going to do a Julia Child type thing where I cook through my vegetable cookbooks to try all these different ways to cook veggies.
Ooh, like a Julie and Julia situation?
Yeah, yeah. Do you know you can rent out Julia Child's house if you wanted?
Wait, is she dead?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay. I know I couldn't remember. And so I was like, does she stay there with you? Where does she live, Julia Child?
She lived in France, I believe. Oh. But in the mountains, not on the seaside. And I was like, I don't know if I want to go to the mountains of France.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Bethany, I would be remiss if I didn't mention this on the podcast. A very good piece of news came out recently.
Tell me.
Nicolas Cage is getting a Netflix show.
Dude, I love this time of Nicolas Cage because he needs money to pay off his debts and he's taking most jobs and he's making wonderful choices. So what is this show about? A lot of people sent me the link, but I haven't read the article yet.
It's something about sweaters. Let's see. Nicolas Cage sweaters. Nope, that didn't come up. That just came up with all sorts of really weird printed sweatshirts with his face on it. Nicolas.
Is he talking about Dirty Words?
Cage Netflix?
Yeah, I think it's like the history of dirty words.
Oh, swear words. Oh, yes. Nicolas Cage hosts the History of Swear Words series on Netflix. I read that headline very quickly yesterday and I thought it said the history of sweaters.
I would also watch that show. That's another show I'd watch.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Because he'd make it interesting. Don't think he wouldn't.
It's tax season is approaching quickly.
Oh, shut up. I don't want to talk about this.
A paycheck.
Yeah.
I saw this really funny tweet that was like, okay, tax season is coming. The government is going to be like, give me your money, even though they failed us this year in every single way possible. I'm unsubscribing. It's true.
Thanks, government. I tweeted, I'm in a fight with a squirrel, but not for all the reasons you'd think. That's what I tweeted this morning.
Is that squirrel still munching on shit outside your window?
No. So there was a squirrel outside yesterday when we were recording, and he was this gorgeous fat little squirrel, and he was just like going to town on this tree outside, and it was snowing. And so I was concerned about him, and I wanted to make sure he had enough food for the winter.
You're a good
and
person.
So I said, Kathleen, can squirrels eat almonds? And you were like, well, they can eat nuts, right? So
yeah,
almonds. Huh. So I had a bag of slivered almonds, and so I put some slivered almonds on an Alice in Wonderland plate, and I put it out on my patio, my fire escape, and they didn't even touch it.
This is how it begins, Bethany. You have to be careful with the wild animals, because you're going to end up like my dad, with a colony of cats in your backyard, all begging for food, and then you go broke because cat food is expensive.
Cat food is expensive. It's very expensive.
Almonds are expensive. You can't just be giving out almonds willy-nilly to any squirrel that knocks on your window and asks for a handout.
You know what? He didn't even ask. I was giving it freely, you know, of my own will, like when you get married. Like, I just wanted him to have something. What I really want is some goddamn ravens to show up at my house and become friends with me, so I leave them presents. They leave me presents.
You know what? Keep dreaming, girlfriend. Keep dreaming.
Kathleen, what did you learn this week? Do you want me to tell you what I learned this week?
Yeah, can you go first?
Sure. I learned that, you know, in your jeans, you have like that, you have like a tiny pocket.
Yeah.
Like you have your front and you have like a tiny pocket.
Yeah, the pocket that you put a quarter in when you have a quarter. Yeah.
That pocket was originally designed for pocket watches.
Really? But it's so small.
So are pocket watches.
Oh, I guess.
I mean, that's what I heard. Look, I don't know. I didn't fact check it. I just heard it.
Since we're talking about squirrels, what I learned this week is a fact about squirrels.
What is it?
Squirrels are behind most power outages in the United States. the APPA, which stands for the American Public Power Association, developed a data tracker called the Squirrel Index, and it analyzes the patterns and timings of squirrels' impact on electrical power systems.
Amazing.
It turns out that the peak times a year for squirrel attacks are from May to June and October to November, and that is when the power mostly goes out.
You know what? I feel like they're victimizing the squirrel in this by calling it a squirrel attack. The squirrels were here first, and I feel like the squirrels are just trying to live their lives, and they don't understand what these power lines are. And so if they maybe chew through them, that's not their fault. Don't call it a squirrel attack, okay?
Yeah, they just think that the power lines are squirrel bridges, and they're like, cool, I get to go from one house to the other.
Exactly. It's a little bit like, you know, in the A Wrinkle in Time, where they explain, and you know, you like fold the paper in, and then you are able to like cross galaxies much faster. Like, that's the power lines of their Wrinkle in Time.
What a good book. I never watched the Oprah movie, though. I never got around to it.
I didn't either.
Sorry, Oprah. All right, well, Bethany, Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Miss Bethany Watson on Instagram. What about you, Kathleen?
I am Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
You can also follow our podcast on social media. On Twitter, we are at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group.
On Instagram, we are Acquired Taste Podcast.
If you want to send us an email, you can do so at anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
You can also send us snail mail. A little bit slow to pick it up right now just because of quarantine, but we'll get there. An Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
Bethany, have you been listening to any indie podcasts this week?
Ooh, I've been listening. Well, I don't know if they're indie. What do you call, what qualifies as indie?
Something that's not, something like us, that's a little bit independent, but maybe still leans on a network for some help, like, but not NPR presents blah, 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 blah.
Gotcha. Okay, well, I've been listening to our friends at Ruined, obviously, because we love them, Allison Leiby and Haley Kiefer.
I've
also been listening to the Double Cleanse podcast with the Welsh brothers. They talk about skincare and grooming and makeup, and they're just really, really fun. And of course, welcome to Deadcast. What about you?
I really like this podcast called Creative Talk, a Creative Pep Talk, rather. It is If you work in a field where you need to be creative every day, and sometimes it can be draining, and there are mornings when you wake up and you're like, well, I'm not creative at all. Creative Pep Talk is one of my favorite podcasts to A, help me get back into the mindset of being creative, and also help me feel not alone when I'm drained without any spark of innovation.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. Helps us move up in the ranks. Share this podcast with your family and friends. That would be the greatest gift ever.
Also, please leave us a voicemail. We want to hear what you're thinking. We play them at the end of every episode. 917-994-0353.
Last week, every single voicemail was about the Charmin Ship Bears.
They're polarizing. They're polarizing. Our show is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can follow her on Twitter at Chargar and on Instagram lit_fuck.
And all the videos of this podcast that you see online and on social media, they are edited by Dentist, a.k.a. Dennis Callow, a.k.a. you can find him on socials at Dennis Callow, DennisCallo.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Taste Buds, here is what you had to say this week.
Hi, ladies. This is Steph from the Poconos. Well, technically Bloomsburg now, but I am calling for Bethany. This is for you, girlfriend. It is your birthday, and I just want to wish you a very, very happy birthday. I am with you watching Clue. It's the best movie ever. I am going to take you to the Finger Lakes, and we're going to try all the Riesling so that you can get, you know, all the wine that you want. And I just hope that you have a fantastic day. This year has been a garbage fire, but you have been a great light for us. And we're so, so thankful for you. So just keep it up. And I hope you have a sexy, fantastic, true crime podcast filled birthday. We love you. Have a good one.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. This is Jennifer from Virginia. This is the first time I'm calling, and I just wanted to call and let Bethany know, happy birthday, happy birthday to ya, happy birthday to ya, happy birthday, happy birthday, Bethany.
Hey, Bethany, it's Taste Bud Sam from Pennsylvania, and I just wanted to wish you a very happy birthday. I hope you and Dennis have safe travels and that you have a great birthday and happy holidays. Thank you and Kathleen for everything that you do. You're amazing people.
Hello, ladies. Just wanted to call and wish Bethany a very happy birthday today. I am so thankful for both of you and the podcast that you put out. I listen to it all the time. I'm actually catching up on episodes, which might be one of my favorite things to do because that means the podcast kind of never ends, but I can just listen to it over, you know, one episode after the next. I don't have to wait a week. Bethany, I hope your day is half as fabulous as you are. Happy birthday.
Good morning. This is Taste Bud Danielle from Freehold, New Jersey, and I'm calling to wish Bethany a very happy birthday. I hope that you have the best day ever, quarantined with your cats and Dennis. We love you, and we thank you for everything that you do today and always. Have the best day ever. Happy holidays. Bye, guys.
Hi, ladies. I just wanted to call and say happy birthday, Bethany. I hope that you have the most amazing day filled with all the things that you love the most. Thank you for all the wonderful podcasts that you give me to listen to on my way to and from work. I have a long commute, so I love listening to you guys. And I just really wanted to say happy birthday.
Hi, ladies. This is Krista calling from Huntington Beach. I wanted to call and wish Bethany a humongously fabulous happy birthday today. I hope you're really enjoying your day and you're really feeling loved by all of the Taste Buds and everybody in your life. I also wanted to give a quick shout out to Jennifer, who shares a birthday with you. She's a Taste Bud and she's completely awesome also. Something that I like to do for my friends on their birthday is tell them how much they mean to me on their big day. So, Bethany, you inspired me to change my life in the way that I needed to change. Our story is only exactly what we want it to be, not what our environment or family or friends or life shittiness makes it up to be. So you inspired me that I could take control of my life, and I picked up my kids and myself and moved across the country to a place that makes me happy right here on the beach in Southern California. And my whole outlook and hope has been restored. And I really, really appreciate that you were brave and not only brave, but generous with your story. Thanks so much. Love you. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Bethany. I hope you have a wonderful birthday and a happy holiday season. Good luck in your travels.
Hi, this is Tisa Jessica from New York, and I just wanted to wish Bethany a very wonderful, happy, healthy birthday, and I hope your road trip goes fantastic and you have a great Christmas season with your family and Dennis and everybody else. And Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you, Kathleen. Like I said, very happy, happy birthday, Bethany. We love you so much.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Jennifer calling from Queens, New York. I just wanted to wish Bethany a happy, happy birthday. I hope you're having an amazing day with Dennis and the kitties, wherever it is that you are. Wishing you nothing but the best always. And we're a birthday twin, so I'll be celebrating too.
Hey, Bethany, it's Christian, or Taste Bud Christian. I just wanted to give you a call and say happy birthday. I've always adored you, and well, of course, Kathleen as well. I just have to say that you're an amazing person. You've done some amazing things, and you're basically my spirit animal. I just want to wish you a happy, happy birthday, and here's to another wonderful year. Be safe, take care, and love you. Bye.
Hi, this is Carol, first-time caller. I've been listening to this podcast from the very beginning. I want to say happy birthday to Bethany. Keep being you because you rock. Happy birthday, Bethany.
Hey, Bethany. This is Taste Bud Allison. Just wanted to wish you a happy birthday. Thank you for being such a positive light in this weird world we're in right now. I hope you have a great birthday.
Hey, this is Taste Bud Ariana. Just wanted to drop in and wish Bethany a very, very happy birthday. And I just wanted to tell you that, Bethany, you share a birthday with my older nephew, Dylan, and he's one of the most important and special people in my life. So I always remember that December 15th is Dylan's birthday, and it's Bethany's birthday. I always, always remember that. So I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day and a great holiday coming up. And take care. Have the best day ever. Bye.
Hi, this is Han calling from Philadelphia. I want to wish Bethany the perfect, most beautiful, wonderful introvert birthday ever. Because, you know, there ain't no party like an introvert party, because an introvert party don't start. Okay, well, that got weird. But anyway, Bethany, happy birthday. I hope it's perfect and wonderful and everything that you deserve. Happy birthday. Bye.
Happy birthday, Bethany. I hope you have a wonderful birthday and a happy holiday season. Good luck in your travels.
This is India, long-time listener, first-time caller. Well, I just want to let Bethany know. Happy birthday. Hope you have a good one.
Happy, 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 happy birthday, Bethany. Wishing you happiest, most loveliest of birthdays. I hope you are hunkered down in the middle of nowhere, drinking some coffee, maybe watching a bad horror movie, and just living your best Bethany life. Have an amazing day. You are incredible. We love you so much. Happy, happy birthday, Bethany.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Rachel from Iowa. I just wanted to wish Bethany a happy, happy birthday. The two of you are just so amazing, and I'm so thankful for you both and all of the Taste Bud community. Everyone there is seriously just so amazing. And Bethany, I hope you have a fantastic birthday. You more than deserve it. And I love you both ladies so, so much. And yeah, happy birthday, Bethany. Okay, bye.
Hi, Bethany. Taste Bud Katie here from New York. I hope you enjoyed this spooky birthday. Wishing you much strength this year and many years to come. Well, for all your years. Thank you for all that you do, and Kathleen, too. You're amazing, Bethany. You're both incredibly talented, and I love seeing all that you do and as you guys grow. Love you so much. Thank you again. Bye.
Hi, ladies. It's Heather from Ohio. I was just calling for the first time to let you know just how much I appreciate you and what a positive impact you have on my life. I'm a teacher, and I have a pretty long commute, and just getting to listen to your episodes and play them back is so wonderful. I also wanted to call and wish Bethany a happy birthday. So happy birthday, Bethany. I hope in the midst of all this craziness that you enjoy your day and you have a special day because you make us all feel so special. All right. Have a great day. Bye.
Hey, it's Frankie. I want to wish a very happy, happy birthday to Bethany. And because it's your birthday, I have written a very special synopsis to a brand new Hallmark movie, where basically we have our lead character, Barbara, and her best friend, who is a podcast host, Kathy, and also our love interest, Dustin. And Barbara is going down the street on her way to her birthday slash holiday party and discovers a red, white, and black parasol on the street. And she opens it up and she becomes temporary Santa. And between Barbara, Kathy, and Dustin, they have to deliver gifts to all the haunted locations, to all the ghost children in the city, so they can have a great Christmas too. And throughout the time, Dustin and Barbara fall in love, and Barbara has a great birthday, and she ends up having all of this, you know, great party and a great time. She meets all these great little ghost children, and she goes to these haunted locations, and she has an amazing time. And that is a ho-ho haunted birthday. So I hope you have a fantastic birthday. Thank you for inspiring all of us, for being our friend, for basically being a safety net for us and for allowing us to be a safety net for you, because I feel like we've all come into each other's lives and we've all just been there for each other. And I cannot wait to see what this year has in store for you. I see nothing but upward mobility, fantastic things, potential reaching, and just amazingness. Thank you and have an amazing birthday.